San Francisco, the Honorable Elmer Robinson.
Mr. President, as mayor of San Francisco, I bid you heartfelt welcome to this city, and I thank you on behalf of all our people for accepting our invitation to visit this birthplace of the United Nations during our celebration of United Nations Week. 5 years ago, in this historic building, yes, on this very platform, the hopes of mankind for peace with justice for all were enshrined in the Charter of the United Nations. In this very building, there was forged a new instrument to give utterance in every tongue to the moral verdict of mankind in the dealings of one nation with another. When the nations, the strong and the weak alike, signed the United Nations Charter, men and women across the breadth of the world felt that right would survive any challenge of might. But in Korea this year, violence, aggression, and outrage challenged the conscience of the world, and every ideal that had been so painstakingly written into the Charter of the United Nations. The President of the United States, by his bold, courageous, and honorable action in the Korean affair, met that challenge as the intelligence and conscience of free men everywhere knew it had to be met. Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Fellow citizens, I've just returned from Wake Island, where I had a very satisfactory conference with General Douglas MacArthur. I understand that there's been speculation about why I made this trip. There's really no mystery about it. I went because I wanted to see and talk to General MacArthur. The best way to see him, talk to him, is to meet him somewhere and talk to him. There's no substitute for personal conversation with the commander in the field who knows the problems there from first-hand experience. He has information at his fingertips which can be of help to all of us in deciding upon the right policies in these crucial times. I went out to Wake Island to see General MacArthur because I did not want to take him far away from Korea, where he is conducting very important operations with great success. Events are moving swiftly over there now, and I did not feel that he should be away from his post too long. At the same time, I believe that my trip to Wake Island would give emphasis to the historic action taken by the United Nations on Korea. For Korea has become the symbol of the resistance of a united humanity against aggression. I also felt that there was pressing need to make it perfectly clear by my talk with General MacArthur that there was complete unity in the aims and conduct of our foreign policy. I've come back from this conference with increased confidence in our long-range ability to maintain world peace. At Wake Island, we talked over the Far Eastern situation and its relationship to the problem of world peace. I asked General MacArthur for his ideas on the ways in which the United States can most effectively assist the United Nations in promoting and maintaining peace and security throughout the Pacific area. We discussed Japan and the need for an early Japanese peace treaty. Both of us look forward with confidence to a new Japan which will be peaceful and prosperous. Well, MacArthur told me about the fighting in Korea. He described the magnificent achievements of all the United Nations forces serving under his command. Along with the soldiers of the Republic of Korea, these forces have now turned back the tide of aggression. More fighting men are coming from free nations all over the world. I am confident that these forces will soon restore peace to the whole of Korea. We here at home in America naturally take special pride in the superb achievements of our own soldiers, sailors, marines, and airmen. They have written a glorious new page in military history. We can all be proud of them. It's also a source of pride to us that our country was asked to furnish the first commander of United Nations troops. It is fortunate for the world that we had the right man for this purpose, a man who is a very great soldier, General Douglas MacArthur. Wake Island to be a symbol of our unity, of purpose for world peace. I want to see world peace from Wake Island west all the way around and back again. I want to see world peace from Wake Island all the way east and back again, and we're going to get it. The United Nations action in Korea is of supreme importance for all the peoples of the world. For the first time in history, the nations who want peace have taken up arms under the banner of an international organization to put down aggression. Under that banner, the banner of the United Nations, they are succeeding. This is a tremendous step forward in the age-old struggle to establish the rule of law in the world. The people of San Francisco have shown that they appreciate the importance of the United Nations as a vital force in world affairs. I'm told that in this area alone, 71 organizations are celebrating United Nations Week. The United Nations was established here. The United Nations was established here in this very building 5 years ago. It was founded in the hope and in the belief that mankind could have just and lasting peace. And I made the first speech to that organization that was made for it after the Charter was signed. Today, as a result of the Korean struggle, the United Nations is stronger than it has ever been. We know now that the United Nations can create a system of international order with the authority to maintain peace. When I met with General MacArthur, we discussed plans for completing the task of bringing peace to Korea. We talked about plans for establishing a unified, independent, and democratic government in that country, in accordance with the resolution of the General Assembly of the United Nations. It's been our policy ever since World War II to achieve these results for Korea. Our sole purpose in Korea is to establish peace and independence. Our troops will stay there only so long as they are needed by the United Nations for that purpose. We seek no territory or special privilege in Korea or anywhere else. We have no aggressive designs in Korea or in any other place in the Far East or elsewhere. and I want that to be perfectly clear to the whole world. No country in the world which really wants peace has any reason to fear the United States of America. The only victory we seek is the victory of peace. The United Nations forces in Korea are making spectacular progress. But the fighting there is not yet over. The North Korean communists still refuse to acknowledge the authority of the United Nations. They continue to put up stubborn but futile resistance. The United Nations forces are growing in strength and are now far superior to the forces which still oppose them. The power of the Korean communists to resist effectively will soon come to an end. However, the job of the United Nations in Korea will not end when the fighting stops. There's a big task of rehabilitation to be done. As a result of the communist aggression, Korea has suffered terrible destruction. Thousands upon thousands of people are homeless, and there is serious danger of famine and disease in the coming winter months. The United Nations is already extending relief to ease the suffering which the communist invasion has brought about. And it is preparing to help the Koreans rebuild their homes and restore their factories. General MacArthur and Ambassador Musio gave me a vivid picture of the way in which the process of reconstruction has already begun. Railroads are being restored, bridges are being rebuilt, and public utilities are beginning to function. We will use the resources of our army and our Economic Cooperation Administration to meet the immediate emergency. We will give our strong support to the United Nations Program of Relief and Reconstruction that will soon be started. The United States will do its full part to help build a free, united, and self-supporting Korean Republic. In a very real sense, the unity of the three nations in meeting the aggression in Korea is the result of a firmly held purpose to support peace and freedom, a purpose which the three nations have pursued together over the years just past. The name United Nations was first used in the dark days of the Second World War by the countries then allied to put down another aggression. From that day until this, the cause of peace has been strengthened by an active policy of cooperation among the three nations. It's not by chance, but as a result of that steady policy, that 53 members of the United Nations rallied immediately to meet the unprovoked aggression against the Republic of Korea. It has been as a part of that same policy and common purpose that we have joined during the past 5 years in building up the strength of the peace-loving forces of the world. We have contributed to this through the Marshall Plan in Europe, through the economic assistance in many other parts of the world. We've also contributed to this end through military aid to countries threatened by aggression. All around the world, the free nations have been gaining in strength. We have to recognize that as we have moved steadily along in the post-war years, our policy of building a peaceful world has met constant opposition from the Soviet Union. Here in San Francisco, 5 years ago, we hoped that the Soviet Union would cooperate in this effort to build a lasting peace. But communist imperialism would not have it so. Instead of working with other governments in mutual respect and cooperation, the Soviet Union attempted to extend its control over other peoples. It embarked on a new colonialism, Soviet style. This new colonialism has already brought under its complete control and exploitation many countries which used to be free countries. Moreover, the Soviet Union has refused to cooperate and has not allowed its satellites to cooperate with those nations it could not control. In the United Nations, the Soviet Union has persisted in obstruction. It has refused to share in activities devoted to the great economic, social, and spiritual causes recognized in the United Nations Charter. For months on end, it even boycotted the Security Council. These tactics of the Soviet Union have imposed an increasingly greater strain upon the fabric of world peace. Aggression and threats of aggression, aided and abetted by obstructionism in the United Nations, have caused grave concern among the nations which are honestly seeking peace.